If you turn again to 2 Kings chapter 18, and with the word of God open before us, we'll bow together in prayer and ask the Lord for help. Our Father, we do pray that thou will have mercy on us. We come as thy children, and we thank thee that we have the word of the Lord, the word that has come from thy mouth. And we pray that as we come now to consider it and meditate upon it, that, Lord, thou will make it profitable to us. We pray that we might know the hand of the Lord today upon us, speaking to us, directing our ways. Lord, we pray that there will be a word in season for us as we are gathered now around the word of God. Hear us, we pray. Abide with us now, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to commence some studies on the life of King Hezekiah. We have read this portion, and really it gives a summary of this man's life, an overview of his life. And that's what I want to start off this morning by doing, is considering the word of God in that regard, of what the Lord has to say by way of overview of this man. There are 117 direct references to Hezekiah in 8 books of the Old Testament. There's the familiar books of 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, but his name is mentioned in Proverbs, his name is mentioned in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, and the book of Micah. In all of those 8 books, you will find references, direct references to this man Hezekiah. As I say, 117 references. So somebody that is referenced so much in the Word of God is surely worthy of our notice. There must be some reason why the Lord has put in so many details, and that some of these other Bible writers as well make reference to this man. There must be profit in considering him. Now, Hezekiah was the 13th king of Judah out of a list of 20 monarchs. And into that list of 20, we will include Athaliah. So that's why we'll call them monarchs rather than just kings, because she was a professed queen, although she set herself up more as a dictator than anything else. But nevertheless, we'll acknowledge that there were 20 monarchs that ruled over the divided kingdom of Judah after Solomon, when the kingdom was divided in the days of Rehoboam. So there were 20 monarchs in all, right down to the time the southern kingdom went into captivity. Hezekiah comes number 13. Well, it wasn't the number of apostasy in regards to Hezekiah. It's the very opposite. Because what we have read of here in this portion already will indicate to us that Hezekiah is to be numbered among the good kings of Judah. He was 25 years old when he came to the throne. He reigned for 29 years upon the throne of Judah. And during that time, there was much that was done in the land that was good and honoring to God. And that's evident from the portions that we have here read this morning. We're going to mention some of these verses in a moment. But he's among the good kings of Judah. Now, when you think that Judah had more as to number, had more evil monarchs than they had good monarchs, then that again gives us reason to think about one of these good kings that were found in Judah. There were 11 evil monarchs and only 8 good monarchs during the history of the kingdom of Judah. And Hezekiah falls in among those good kings. Thankfully, it's the mercy of the Lord with regards to the kingdom of Judah. The reigns of those 8 monarchs, those 8 good kings, actually account for 2/3 of the history of this kingdom. So even though numerically they're the lesser number, there's only 8 good kings and 13 evil kings, yet those 8 good kings cover 2/3 of the history of the kingdom of Judah. And there immediately, you know, there is a spiritual principle to observe and a lesson as well. Because it is the case that following the Lord brings stability. It brings stability to an individual's life. It brings stability to a home. It brings stability to a land and nation where there is a following of the Lord. And it's no surprise then that when you come to read about these eight good kings that are mentioned, Hezekiah one of them, that it should be the case that they are the kings that have reigned the longest in Judah's history and brought so much good to Judah's history, because that is a Bible principle. Where there is a following of the Lord, an honoring of the Lord, a cleaving to the Lord, as is mentioned there with regards to this man in verse 6, there is going to be stability. It's the lack of following the Lord that often brings instability into somebody's life or into some home. There's no honoring of the Lord. There's no following of his ways. There's no observing of his commandments. And as a result of it, there's instability in a life or a home, and certainly in a nation as well. When a nation forgets God, they lose that blessing of social peace that comes to a land that's following the Lord. And we can see that in our own land. It's illustrated, sadly, all too vividly before us. The instability that there comes when there's no acknowledging of the Lord or the following of his ways. And those in authority flounder and they don't know what to do and they don't know what way to turn. And the people are law unto themselves. Every man that's doing does that which is right in his own eyes. The lesson is obvious before us in our own times. Forgetting the Lord brings instability. But where there is a kingdom or a nation, or even down to an individual level, where there is a following of the Lord and a cleaving unto the Lord, there comes a period of stability. How many lives have been ruined by sin and a mess by sin, but what a transformation grace makes when somebody is converted and brought to Christ. What an ordered life comes out of chaos when somebody comes to know Christ and who's wonderfully changed and transformed, particularly when they've had a sinful background and maybe a long period of being unconverted and living for the world and the things of the world. And what chaos there is in their lives, and what a change comes over them in coming to know Jesus Christ. So when we come to think about these eight good kings, Hezekiah being one of them, it is worth noticing they count for 2/3 of the history of the kingdom of Judah. Now what I want to do, as I've already said, is to really take these verses here, verses 1 to 12 really, that we have read. We read slightly more than that. But I want to take those here and look at an overview of this man and kind of desire to establish a little bit of background to him so that we know him as best that we can, and then we can come on to think about some of the things that the scripture records about this man. And there are a number specific incidences that we want to think about. I want you first of all to think about the meaning of his name. The meaning of his name, because as it is often the case, the meaning of an individual's name gives us something about the character of that individual and the circumstances of that individual as well. It is very true that people often live up to their names. There is something about names, particularly in the Word of God, but I think more generally as well. It's always important, a name of an individual, certainly in the Bible, and I would say certainly in the Old Testament, where you have the name of an individual, it's worth finding out the meaning of that person's name and thinking about, well, how does that influence the character of this individual? How does this influence the circumstances of this individual? Because you will find that oftentimes that a person lives up to their name, whatever that name is. Well, Hezekiah has got a good name. His name means Jehovah is my strength. Or if we turn it around slightly, it can mean strengthened of Jehovah. So it is a reference to the Lord strengthening this man. It is a reference to the Lord enabling this man. It is an acknowledgement that what happens in his life and the circumstances we read of and the victories that he won for the Lord and for the Lord's cause came about as a result of the Lord strengthening him and the Lord enabling him. His name has this wonderful meaning. And we'll come to see that, I trust, as we work our way through some of these incidences that are recorded in this man's life, because he didn't know what it was to be strengthened by the Lord. Now, he wasn't a perfect man, because as we know, there's not a perfect man naturally born of woman in this world. The only perfect man was the God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Hezekiah was a good man. He wasn't a perfect man. But then none of us are perfect either. Not one of us. There's flaws of character, and we'll come to notice some of those as well. But as a whole, the testimony of the Scripture is that he was a good man. If you look there at chapter 18 where we were reading in verse 3, it says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done." Now this is a general overview, because we're going to think about some of the things that he did that weren't all that good. But generally, as taking his life as a whole, and here's the commentary of the Lord upon this man's life. "He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done." Then come down to verse 6. "For he cleaved to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments with the Lord, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Syria and served him not." So as an overview of his life, as a general commentary upon his life, he was a good man, strengthened of the Lord. And it's evident there already from, for example, verse 7, where it says, "The Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went." Here's the Lord's strength in this man's life. Here's the Lord's enablement given to this man. And there's immediately flagged up there one of the points that we're going to come to consider when he resisted and rebelled against the king of Assyria. So here's a man that the Lord is helping, that the Lord is enabling, and as a result of being enabled by the Lord, it says of him, he's a good man. He's doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He's cleaving unto the Lord. Well, is that not the mark of somebody that the Lord helps? If there's grace that is being given into somebody's life, poured into that person's life by the Lord, are these not going to be the features then of a life that knows the enablement and the strength of the Lord? Are they not going to do that which is right in God's eyes? Are they not going to cleave to the Lord and follow all of his commandments? Is that not going to be the mark of somebody that the Lord's enabling? Surely it has to be. If the Lord is going to strengthen this man and enable him, then we're going to expect some of these things that the Scriptures are highlighting. And if the Lord, if we are individuals enabled and strengthened by the Lord, well, here are some of the features that will be seen. We're going to do that which is right before God. We're going to cleave to the Lord. We're going to follow his commandments. That'll be the mark of the Lord strengthening us and enabling us. 2 Chronicles 31 and verse 20, one of those other places, 717 references, as I said, where this man's name is directly referenced. Well, in 2 Chronicles 31 and verse 20, and it says, "And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God." So we'll come to see, not only did this man do that which was right in his own life, he had an influence as well upon others. Because that verse says, 2 Chronicles 31 and 20, that he did this throughout all Judah. He had an influence. Now his position was invariably going to give him a place of influence. He's the king after all. So he's going to have authority. He's going to be able to command and things are going to be done. But as we know, there were plenty of kings who had authority and never did any good in the land, that encouraged the people and directed the people to forsake the Lord and facilitated them as well in forsaking the Lord. But here's a man who's going to follow the Lord. Here's a man who's going to be strengthened by the Lord, and he's going to have an influence upon others. The whole kingdom's going to be influenced as a result of one good man on the throne in Judah, this man Hezekiah. And he's going to do that which was good and right and truth. 2 Chronicles 31 and 20 there emphasizes the three of those things. He's doing that which was good and that which was right and that which was truth. The Lord is certainly helping this man and strengthening him. So whatever we come to notice about Hezekiah, it is the result of the Lord's grace working in his life. Nothing more, nothing less, but the grace of God enabling him, strengthening him. So here's a man who's going to live up to his name. The Lord is my strength, or strengthened of Jehovah. He's going to live up to his name, and there's going to be these marks and features about him. That's going to be evident. Here's a man who's helped of the Lord. Well, isn't that something that would be our desire as well, Christian, to know the Lord's help? I don't want to pursue it this morning because we'll head away off from Hezekiah, but we could go to Paul the Apostle, and maybe already you can think of verses where Paul said the Lord helped him. The Lord helped him. When nobody else stood with him, Paul said, "The Lord helped me." There's such a thing as being strengthened and helped of the Lord. And is that not our desire every day of our lives? Lord, help me, strengthen me, enable me. Whatever it is we're called upon to do, in all of our different roles and responsibilities, and wherever the Lord has placed us, whoever we come into contact with, whatever influence we may exert upon whoever, but surely the one overriding thought that all of us ought to have as the people of God is, Lord, I need your help. Strengthen me and enable me. Enable me to be what I ought to be for God. Enable me to do that which is good, and that which is right, and that which is truth. Would that not be everybody's desire who knows the Lord? Lord, make me like this man in that regard. Make me like Hezekiah, that the Scripture points out these things about a man enabled of the Lord and strengthened of the Lord. Lord, make me that individual who might do that which is good and right and truth. And then when the Lord does help us, can we not in turn then raise our Ebenezer? You'll remember that term. Just go back, 1 Samuel 7. The term Ebenezer means stone of help. And it was back there in those early days of Samuel's ministry when there was the setting up of this stone of help. And it's called Ebenezer. It's verse 12 of 1 Samuel chapter 7. And the verse just reads, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And they were battling against the Philistines at this particular time, and the Lord gave them deliverance, a mighty deliverance. But they acknowledged that the deliverance hadn't come by their power. It wasn't the skill of the soldiers of Israel. Now, they went out and fought and contended, but the Lord had given the victory. The Lord had intervened. And then as a result of that, they set up this testimony. Samuel sets up this stone, and he calls the stone Ebenezer, literally meaning stone of help. It's a testimony, a visible testimony that the Lord had helped them on a particular occasion. Well, Christian, can you and I not set up our Ebenezers? Maybe we can go back through our lives and look over our lives, and we can say, well, there and there and then and on those other occasions, the Lord helped me. Well, every time we should raise up our Ebenezer and say, those were times when the Lord helped. Those were times when the Lord gives strength. Maybe some particular trial that we have come through. Maybe some particular time of testing the Lord has helped us through. And we knew. And maybe we look back and think, well, I never would have got through that without the Lord's help. And many times Christians do testify to that. Oh, I could never have come through that without the Lord's help. I don't know what I would have done if the Lord wasn't with me. Well, on every one of those occasions, are they not testimonies to say, the Lord has helped, and I'll raise up my Ebenezer and say, hitherto hath the Lord helped. Well, Hezekiah is that type of man. He's got a name that's going to continually bear witness to this truth. The Lord has strengthened me. This man's going to carry about this name all the time. Every time he's mentioned in Scripture, 117 direct references to this man. And every time you read his name, you think about one whom the Lord has strengthened, one whom the Lord has helped. And may the Lord enable us and help us. We need the Lord's help day by day. Again, it's not our intention this morning, but just to sow the seed at least in your own mind that you can think about. How many times in the Psalms does the psalmist not pray for God's help? Many times. That could become a study all of its own, just to go through the Psalms and notice the times the psalmist cries out to God for help. Will the Lord help us when we call? Well, this man Hezekiah has got a name that bears witness to this. The Lord helps. The Lord strengthens. My strength is of Jehovah. And when we call for help, may we know the Lord strengthening us. This is particularly true that the Lord has helped this man and strengthened this man when we are mindful of the circumstances of his early years. You see, the Lord was mindful of this man even before he was born. Even before he was born. And I say that because, as we'll come to see, there were a number of you could call them potential disasters that faced him in life, which could have ruined him individually, even brought him down to death, an early death individually, and certainly ruined his kingdom if the Lord had not strengthened him. It literally is the case that Hezekiah was here and that there's a history about this man because the Lord was looking after him. The Lord was mindful of him. And I say that from the very beginning of his times because Hezekiah escaped being sacrificed as a child to the heathen gods that his father worshipped. Turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 28. And we'll come to read here about his father and the wicked practices that his father engaged in. 2 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 1. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And we were thinking about that a few Lord's Day evenings ago. Gehenna, and the burning, the fire that burned in Gehenna. But then it goes on to say that not only did he burn incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. So Hezekiah, this man's father, practiced child sacrifices. They did this because they believed that this was the only way to appease the God that they worshipped. They believed that the God that they worshipped was so angry, so annoyed with them, so going to bring down his wrath upon them, that the only way that they could placate him would be to sacrifice their own children unto him. And that's why this practice developed among the heathen nations, that they would worship their God, but they would worship him with child sacrifices, because they believed this is the only way to appease this angry God that we worship. And we read of different individuals, Ahaz being one, who sacrificed his children to these heathen pagan gods. Well, is it not a mercy that Hezekiah is preserved? And how was he preserved, that he wasn't one of those children that were sacrificed? Because is it not interesting to notice what is said there in 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 3, that he burnt his children in the fire? It's not that he burnt his child. It wasn't that he just sacrificed one child unto these heathen gods, wanting to appease this heathen god on one occasion. It's in the plural, so he's done this on a number of occasions. There were a number of his children that he sacrificed to these heathen gods. And we come to think today about one of those children that the Lord has preserved, Hezekiah, that wasn't sacrificed in the fire. And is there not evidence here of the Lord's hand upon this child? The Lord had ordained this child that he was going to be of great use to the Lord in Judah. And the Lord had his hand upon him. It's even remarkable that he was called by this name. When you read about his father didn't do that which was right before God, didn't follow the Lord. Wasn't a worshipper of Jehovah at all, was a worshipper of Balaam and all the other false gods, and yet he calls his son by this name, whom Jehovah strengthens. There is evidently been some remarkable intervention in this young man's life, this child's life, that he would end up being given that name, particularly when you think about the circumstances of his father. And in Israel's history, it was the father who named the child. You have that illustrated in John the Baptist's history. Because remember, they asked Zacharias, is this the name you're going to give to the child? Are you going to call him John? And Zacharias asked for the writing tablet and wrote his name as John. So it was the father who was according to their culture and customs, that would have named the child. So why does a man who doesn't follow the Lord, who doesn't profess to follow Jehovah in any way, who's not doing that which is right before the Lord, why will he end up giving this child such a name? There has to be some divine intervention here. The Lord was watching over that child. The Lord has preserved him from being sacrificed in those fires to false gods. He's even watched over him in the name that he has been given. And he has given this name that signifies the Lord's going to strengthen him. And here he is, the Lord has preserved him. And the Lord has preserved him for a purpose. And that's why we read here of that he becomes not only one of the good kings of Judah, but he becomes the best of the kings of Judah. Look what is here if you turn back to 2 Kings 18 and verse 5, where we were having our scripture reading. 2 Kings 18 verse 5, "He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him." So this man is unrivaled in his pursuit of the things that are good and honoring to the Lord. This man is unrivaled. The Lord says, this is a commentary of the Word of God, the Lord has so helped this man and so strengthened this man that when you take all the kings of Judah, there's not one of them who was better than him, either before him or after him. Not one. So Hezekiah comes out on top. He's head and shoulders above all the others as to the type of man that he is. The Lord's hand is on him. The Lord's strengthening him. And see, when the Lord strengthens somebody, this is what happens. They excel. They excel all others. Again, you can think about Daniel and his three friends in Babylon. When they purposed to honor the Lord and the Lord helped them. And when the time of testing came, it was discovered that Daniel and his three friends were 10 times better than all the others. And they had eaten the king's meat and had the very best of diet. And Daniel and his three friends said, "We're not going to eat the king's meat because it's sacrificed to idols." And they lived on water and pulse. And God honored it. God strengthened them and they excelled. And where there is the strengthening of the Lord, the enablement of the Lord, there's going to be excellence. And here's this man, Hezekiah, has this name. The Lord's strengthening. The Lord evidently has his hand upon him. The Lord has a purpose for him in his life. And when there's this overview that is given here by the writer of 2 Kings, and they're thinking about the life of Hezekiah, and they can say of this man, there wasn't another king in Judah in all of those years. In all of those years during the kingdom of Judah, there wasn't another man, either before him or afterward, that ranks alongside him at all. He trusted in the Lord his God. That's quite a testimony to have. Would it not be a good testimony for us all to desire? That the Lord has so enabled us and the Lord has so strengthened us in our lives that if somebody spoke of us, they'd say, "Well, there's hardly a person like that, that individual, for what they did and how they followed the Lord. Despite all the wickedness of his father," remember. And then that begins you, to make you think, well, what spiritual influences did he come under? And if we think a little bit about his family, we discover that he had a godly grandfather. He had a godly grandfather. His father only reigned 16 years. It tells us there in 2 Chronicles, those verses that we turned to. So Hezekiah evidently knew his grandfather. He evidently knew his grandfather. And that grandfather had an influence upon him. He was one of the other good kings of Judah. And for 9 years, he was 9 years old when his grandfather died. And in those early years, that grandfather seems to have had some influence. Maybe even had an influence on naming him. And he becomes the man that he does. You'll notice here as well in connection with his name that he is described in many ways as a throwback to the days of David. Verse 3, 2 Kings 18, verse 3, it says, "He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did." Now David was the king, well he was king of Judah for a time, but he was the king of all Israel. So they're going back here, right through all the line of Judah, and even going beyond that, back to the whole kingdom of Israel. Going back to David. And when this man's life is weighed up and evaluated by none other than the Lord himself here in his word, the word of God is this testimony about Hezekiah. He did according to all that David had done. And when you think about the man that David was, even from his youth, he was a man after God's own heart. Because that's what made David to be chosen to be king in Israel. He was a man after God's own heart. And we're thinking here about Hezekiah and we're saying right from his early days, right from his childhood, there seems to have been something. The Lord's hand was on this child and upon this young individual. Maybe even through the influence of a grandfather because his father was an ungodly man. And there he is now raised up to do great and mighty things in the kingdom of Judah. And the commentary of the scriptures is he's just like David. He's living in the same manner. He's acting in the same manner. He's doing all that David his father did. All that David his father did. Now we know David wasn't a perfect man either. And as we've said, Hezekiah is not a perfect man. He has faults and shortcomings, and so do us all. But this man's a throwback to a former time. And then in thinking about that, that he's a throwback to a former time, there's going to be a renewing of former days, as we'll come to see. There's going to be a renewing of former times. The Lord has just brought this man to the kingdom for such a time as that. And he's going to have an influence, not only in Judah, but we'll see further afield, because at this very time, it tells us there in our Bible reading, how it was during his reign in Judah that the northern kingdom went into captivity. The Syrians attacked the northern kingdom of Israel and took them away into captivity. So there was no king in the northern kingdom. And the Lord had this man in the southern kingdom, Hezekiah, and he was going to use his influence as much as possible, even reaching out beyond Judah into that northern kingdom again, seeking to rally the people back to the Lord and back to the things of God. There was going to be a return to former times. And here's a man whose own heart and the type of man that he is and the character that he is, the Lord strengthening him, and he himself is going to be a throwback to a former time. He's going to be like David. And that encourages us, does it not, that the Lord can renew our days as of old, to use the words of Jeremiah, the end of Lamentations. When we think of the state of things in our own time, and the great decline that has taken place, and the departure from God that is in the nation, can we not, in a sense, go back? Can the Lord not raise up an individual like he has done in times past? Can the Lord not renew our days as in times past? Can he not bring back some of those days again? Days when there's a turning to the Lord and a forsaking of the things of the world and the ungodly and a renewing of vows before God, can there not be a return to some of those days? Because there was in the days of Hezekiah's reign in Judah. There's those words in Philippians 4, verse 13, where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that's certainly true with Hezekiah. You could really take that verse and use it as a summary of Hezekiah's life. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I've often said that in school assembly to the pupils in school. Old Testament history, Old Testament incidences. It's a good thing just to take a verse of the New Testament to summarize a particular incident. Just really to focus down on well, what is being taught in this incident or this individual's life? Well, we could take Philippians 4:13 and bring it back here to 2 Kings 18 and write it in alongside Hezekiah's life and say, as Paul said there, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And where we face challenges to live for God and do what's right, the Lord can help us, the Lord can strengthen us. Just as he enabled Hezekiah, and out of all of his circumstances, the Lord has kept his hand upon him, preserved him, brought him to the throne of Israel, even made him a throwback to David in this regard. And here's a man who's going to be mightily helped of God to do great things in the land. You know, there's mention made with regards to Hezekiah's life about the great reformation that he brought about in the land. A great reformation. And even how suddenly that reformation came about. Turn over to 2 Chronicles. We'll finish with this morning. When we think about the Lord helping him and enabling him, 2 Chronicles and chapter 29, very last verse of this chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, and it says there, verse 36, Hezekiah rejoiced and all the people that God had prepared the people. For the thing was done suddenly. The thing was done suddenly. And again, this is one of those examples of the Lord helping him. The Lord prepared the people. The Lord prepared the man. And we've been thinking a little bit of that this morning. The Lord prepared the man. Then there came a time when the Lord had so prepared Hezekiah that this work that he'd been exercised of heart to do, to reform the land and reform the worship and turn the people back to the Lord. But he needed the Lord's help again in moving the heart of the people. It was one thing for Hezekiah to be convinced of this. It's another thing entirely for the people in the land. And if the people in the land aren't going to go along with it, nothing's going to happen. It doesn't matter what the king wants to do. It's going to fail. Oh, he may push it and encourage it and command it, but if the heart of the people isn't in it, it'll come to naught. But what we discover here is that the Lord was helping him. The Lord prepared the heart of the people. And we'll come to think about the details as we go through these studies, God willing. But just sufficient now to notice, the Lord helped him here. Not only had the Lord prepared the man, but now the Lord prepares the people. And then it says at the end there, the thing was done suddenly. There was a sudden turning to the Lord in the nation. And such can be accomplished when we have the Lord's help. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And Hezekiah did much. He did much for the Lord, all because the Lord was strengthening him. And Christian, we too can know the Lord's strength. And we too, by the Lord's help, can see something accomplished with the Lord's help. And may the Lord help us each day. Whatever it is we're out doing during the course of a week, may the Lord help us. May we know that. May we be conscious, the Lord has helped me today. The Lord has strengthened me today. And may we live with that conviction. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. May the Lord bless his word this morning to our hearts. Let's bow together in prayer. And our Father, we pray that what we've meditated upon this morning will be a blessing to our souls. Lord, we need help. We need strength. And as we think about Hezekiah, we pray, Lord, that we would be encouraged, that we would know that such strength is indeed possible. We can have the strength of Christ, and we pray that Thou would enable us, each one in our lives. O Lord, be near to us. Let us know the very thoughts we think today. Let us know maybe the challenges that we face. But Lord, whatever they might be, may we know the Lord can strengthen us. And when we think of the wider circumstances, the bigger picture in our land and nation, Lord, we thank Thee there's a remedy. We need Thee to come. And we pray that Thou would do things suddenly. Cause there to be a turning. Oh, prepare the heart of the people, Lord. Cause there to be a turning. Bless Thy word to us. And as we continue in Thy will to consider this man, Lord, may we glean with profit. May there be benefit. An application to our own lives. Part us with Thy fear and favor now, we pray, and do us good, for we ask in Jesus' name.